Just a quick thing about the fig tree, very, very briefly. You start hearing about fig leaves in the book of Genesis, and it seems like it goes on throughout the whole scripture. It's a type of the nation of Israel. In Jeremiah, the Lord compared his people to two kind of figs, bad figs and good figs. I think it's in chapter 24 of Jeremiah. So when you read about the fig tree, it's usually a symbol of the nation of Israel. There was a parable where the Lord spoke about a man who had a vine, a vineyard, and there was in it a fig tree, and it did not bring any fruit. And the Lord said, well, just give it one more year. It's been a couple of years and didn't bring anything. Give it one more year. It's the patience of the Lord. Yet the fascinating thing is this. If you look at the life of the Lord Jesus on earth, he always brought blessing to everything that was around him. If there was a sickness, if there was death, if there was disease, if there was hunger, he always did blessing, brought blessings in. The only time the Lord cursed, he cursed the fig tree. And that's in Mark chapter 11. He cursed the only time he did a curse, he cursed the fig tree. Why? Because there was no reality. It's something that I believe the Lord abhor. The fakeness of an individual or of a nation. There were leaves. There were leaves in there, and he was looking for fruit. For 3 years, three and a half, he labored with them, did everything possible for them. There was no fruit for him, and he ended up cursing the fig tree. Now, is the fig tree in place? Yes. About 60-something years ago, they came back again to the land. They are a nation. They are recognized. They are every news that happened in the world. You might not hear much about New Jersey. But you know what? No matter what newspaper or any news wire you look upon, there is something about Israel. Something about it everywhere. And there will be more after we're gone. But it is a fig tree. But they are coming back, or they came back in unbelief. And until they realize that, the Lord will come in and set them in the right place. But the fig tree, generally speaking, speaks of the nation of Israel.
I was just going to add a little more to that same theme. It's clear that there are links with the nation of Israel from the fig tree. And at the same time, I would like to make a connection with this passage here and in Luke's gospel. In Luke's gospel, chapter 21, the parallel passage says, "Consider a parable of the fig tree and all the trees." And the fact is that when trees have blossoms, you know that summer is near. I don't want to diminish the link with Israel, because the scriptures do make that link. What I want to add on to what we're saying is that the special thing is that these things, when they start to happen, these things, then you know that the coming of the Son of Man is near, and the generation who sees these things, looking ahead at verse 34, will not have gone off the scene. I believe that's the reference in verse 34. There are different interpretations or explanations of who this generation is. I believe it's the generation who sees these things. These things will be coming up in close proximity chronologically, and the coming of the Son of Man will not be long after these things. The reason I'm making a point of this is that it can be done that there is such a fascination with the nation of Israel that wrong conclusions are sometimes made. I remember as a teenager, a brother who had some responsibility among young people was explaining that the establishment of the nation of Israel in 1948 was therefore setting these things in motion, some of these timetables and so on in motion. And so this was my first exposure to, so probably this might be the year when the Lord might come. I won't go into them because I don't want to confuse anybody. It was obviously wrong. It was a long time ago that year was predicted. And since then, we've heard many, many other explanations of why it's this year or that year or so on. What we don't want to do is have a knee-jerk reaction to things that happen with Israel and right away say, well, this is an indication of such and such taking place. What we see is that God has always had his eye on the nation of Israel. In fact, in Deuteronomy, it says that when he divided the nations, he divided them based on the boundaries he was going to give to the nation of Israel. It's his primary focus when it comes to the nations of the earth. Right now, his primary focus is the church of God, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. We are his primary focus, and those to whom we are witnessing, God so loved the world. But when it comes to the nations, Israel is his primary focus. We don't want to misuse this and say, well, when such and such happens, that means this verse is now in force. What we realize is God has his eye on Israel, and when these things begin that have just been described, not something politically with Israel, not something geographically with the nation of Israel, but these specific things, when they begin, then the coming of the Lord Jesus is very near in power and glory.
So that brings up the question that I had. And so then, what is the context for the reader? First of all, the actual group he's speaking to, which is the disciples. You know what? Because the sum of the signs that have been described already are midway through the tribulation, and the disciples will have long been passed. That's the first thing. And the second part of it is for us as believers, because even us getting wrapped up in the politics of the world, even paying attention to Israel at all right now, could be something that could lead us down the wrong road. I mean, really, these things aren't really for us. We have nothing to do with the tribulation. We're out of here. So the question is, you know, what is the reader supposed to take from this? First of all, the ones he's speaking to there, and then also us.
I believe, therefore, it is so vital that we see this actually in its context again. The passage in Luke, when it speaks of the fig tree and all the trees, speaks of Israel and all the nations. Luke is the gospel of the Gentiles and for the nations all around. And so this impact, what we see, God dealing not only with Israel, but this generation shall not pass, I believe it is very clear. It is this unbelieving generation will not pass until these things are fulfilled. In other words, Israel will remain in unbelief. The whole Gentile nations are in apostasy and in unbelief. And it's not until the Spirit of God and power is poured out upon that will the remnant come out in that time. It's a divine work that will bring them out in that period of time. And so for us, again, when you see these things, we're to look at them, as we've said before. When we realize what God is doing, we can rejoice in the sense that we know that the coming of the Lord in his revelation, in his power. I'm so thankful as we see things developing, the nations in Israel, to know that it'll not continue this way. It's come to a context. But they're not going to repent. They're going to continue on, and judgment will overtake them. And it will be like Bill mentioned, when it says in verse 30, then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. That is a direct answer to verse 3. Tell us when these things shall be, and what is the sign of thy coming. So this is the sign of his coming, the Lord coming with his angels. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2.